The program originally scheduled for this time will not be heard in order that we may bring you the special broadcast that follows.
It was July 21st in the Central Pacific, around 9 o'clock in the morning. Back home here in the States, it was the night of July 20th. For the boys of the 3rd Marine Division, it was D-Day, H hour for the attack on Guam, the first American territory to be lost to the Japanese. Marine Combat Sergeant Alvin Giuseppe Jr. of Washington, D.C., went ashore with the Marines carrying a film recorder, along with his engineer, electrician's mate, second class Joseph Wheaton of the Navy's Seabees. He placed his equipment in an armored half-track, which in turn was placed in a tank lighter. Sergeant Giuseppe's recordings have just arrived in Washington, and today the National Broadcasting Company brings you this dramatic on-the-spot description made under heavy Japanese fire.
We're speaking to you from the hold of a Navy transport several miles off Guam in the Western Pacific. Tomorrow morning at dawn, American Marines will debark from this ship and move ashore to take back that island from the Japanese, who seized it from us 2.5 years ago. Tonight, on the eve of this new invasion, we've taken you into the living quarters of some of the Marines who will storm the Guam beaches tomorrow. They are gathered around us, one playing San Antonio Rose on the harmonica, just as on occasion during this sea voyage he has played for the other fellows. Down here in the lights of the hold are the men who are going to do the fighting. And now let's meet them. First, I'd like to bring up here the fellow who played the harmonica. What state are you from?
Illinois.
Whereabouts? The south or the north?
Down the north.
And how old are you?
23.
How long have you been overseas?
Oh, about 19 months.
Are you married?
No.
Got a girl back there?
A few. A few?
Have you been in combat before?
Yeah, I have once.
Nothing serious, though, huh?
No.
Nothing like tomorrow.
Get the Purple Heart?
Did you get the Purple Heart, somebody wants to know?
No, not quite.
Well, let's hope you don't this time.
I hope so.
What kind of work do you do in the Marines? What will you be doing tomorrow?
I'm driving a radio truck.
Driving a radio truck.
Right.
And can you tell us a little what that means?
Well, no, I can't tell you too much about it.
I mean, you go to some central point and establish contact with groups out in the front lines or...
Military secret.
It's a military secret, somebody says. Is that right?
Well, it covers it.
All right. What did you do before you got in the Marines?
Well, I worked in... defense plan during the war and before the war started.
Well, what did you make in the defense plan?
Not very solid.
I didn't make much.
Well, I mean, were they planes or?
No, it was radio parts.
Radio parts, I see. And what do you want to do after the war?
Well, I don't know. I've never thought about it.
You want to get married?
That has none of my mind either.
That hasn't entered your mind either.
No.
Well, tonight, what are you thinking about? Is this the job you got to do tomorrow?
Well, that's about all in the chow.
And the chow? You mean you'll get good chow or not good chow tomorrow?
Well, that all depends.
You mean to say you're worried about the rations? Is that it, or...?
Well, the rations I've had in the last campaign weren't too good.
You got enough with you this time?
Yeah, I hope so.
A lot of chocolate bars? D-rations?
Yeah, I have. I made off with a little chow, though.
All right. Thanks a lot. Now let's get someone else. Here's the noisy guy you've heard in the background. Come on down here.
How you know, Joe?
Where are you from?
Tennessee.
Eastern part or west?
East, southeast.
Incidentally, we cannot give you the names of these men because of military security at this time. But maybe somebody back home will recognize a voice. You're from the eastern part, you say?
That's right.
Are you married?
No.
Well, what are you so noisy about tonight?
Well, no use being quiet, are they?
How old are you?
24.
And how long have you been overseas?
Well, let's see. About 17 months. Long enough, isn't it?
Well, it's pretty long. There are a lot of guys who have been here longer and wouldn't agree with you about that long enough. You've been taking care of laundry on here.
Right-ho.
Are your prices pretty low, do you think?
Well, I think they're reasonable, but some people don't, I don't guess. But I think they're lucky to even get your clothes washed.
Well, now, I gave you some of my clothes, and they came back starched.
That's the first... Yeah, and iron.
That's the first time I've had any starched clothes overseas.
Well, you know, this little political pull there, you know.
Sergeant Giuseppe's next words describe how he jumped out of the half track onto a coral reef and...
Hang on, boy. Can we go down the ramp into the water? You can probably hear it. We're now on the reef, in the water. And I'm going to jump off and wave. Boy, it's up to my knees. I think my pistol got wet. I don't know. It's pretty high. I'm moving away from the half track now. The men are motioning to each other to move forward. The surface of the coral is quite level, although it's bumpy, but it's not, at least not jagged, not full of foam. There's a lot of something growing underneath. The half track's moving very slowly, about a half a mile to the beach. The men are all spread out. They look pretty good. This is a swell picture of these marines. Boys, you know from your own hometown, there's a lot of fire around us. Well, nothing to hit it, just the stuff, Carl, sticking up. We're walking over. Of course, we have to be cautious about traps, underwater obstruction. The men are all ahead of us. None of them around us. Hey, just keep your eye on me and poke down, will you, if anything happens here. So, him, if it... Boy, bet you heard that. We're still going. There's some coral sticking up above water now. These men are spread out, I should say, about 175 yards in front to about 100 yards from width to along the west, from side to side. Quite a job moving your legs through this stuff. Get very tired. Can't go too fast. Stumbling. It's pretty rough. I should say it's about 2.5 feet deep. Gonna lose my breath. The boys are ahead of stumbling. Come on back here. You don't want to leave me all alone. The men are carrying their carbines and rifles. Sling arms. There's rifle fire falling among us now. Trying to crack me over. And there are bullets coming through the water now. Probably machine guns. See, one just landed right next to the guy. They're getting near the half track. This is no fun. What's the matter? Hey, spread out! Spread out! Hey, John, I'd like to be in there with you. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of fire coming in this water. But no one I've seen yet has been hit, fortunately. It's amazing you can't see anyone in the beach yet or see a marine running along through the coconuts. Boy, there's a lot of coral here. Just fell over some coral. Hey, John? How the hell can I get in? Can you open that door? Huh? Well, all right, cut it off a minute. I'll try and get in there.
After leaping from the half-track, Sergeant Giuseppe waded through waist-deep water toward the beach. He then returned to the shelter of the half-track and rowed to the edge of the beach. His next recording describes the beach as the Marines secure a foothold.
Now, we're establishing a position here practically on the beach. The infantry has moved ahead and we can see them going up the hill directly ahead of us. Not very far ahead, but they've gone up. And they're, in some places, they're on the crest, maybe gone over. The tanks have gone to our left to get a point at luck, and the one that we see burning was stopped by Jap mortar fire before it got there. Now, looking around at the reef that we came over, some of us wonder how we ever got through it. There's plenty of our gear out there floating around. That little rubber boat on which wounded
had sprung. It's still lying out there in the water. It's turned over. There are plenty of tacks and the communications gear and so forth. The tide is beginning to go down and some of it's stranded on the sand. But we'll have to try and salvage whatever we can when we have time. Now, out at the reef, I think some sea bees are beginning to land. They're bringing in some bulldozers. And there are plenty of waves still to come in. We have not got some of our artillery in here yet. After all, we just pushed forward. Our infantry just pushed forward enough to allow even our half-track to move off the beach and establish what might be a CP, a command post. We don't know how long we'll have it here. Might have it all night. But we might be able to push further forward before night. Now, we landed quarter of 10 this morning, our time. And it's been hot ever since. We're full of sand, thirsty, very thirsty. Somebody broke out a can of orange juice, and it was wonderful. Incidentally, one of the amusing things here was when I hit the sand right after I stopped broadcasting last time, I sort of fell on my face and looked up, and there was a copy of an American news magazine of about a month ago lying in the sand. Probably some marine had brought it ashore with him and had dropped it just ahead of me. Now, a lot of the infantrymen around us have on their green camouflage paint under their eyes and across their face, and they're busy digging foxholes all around us, which we'll have to do soon, too. They're building holes for their mortars and machine guns, and for their security around the various command posts and centers of communication.
Another Marine combat recording was made aboard a Navy transport and caught the conversations of tank crews as they rooted out Jap snipers and blasted pillboxes. It is believed that this is the first broadcast of conversations of tank crews in actual combat.
Turn your turret on, will you? Right back here. Pivot your turret. Got a pointer right behind that tree. Right behind it. Oh, no. Move farther. Move.
NBC has brought you an on-the-spot film recording of the Marine landing on Guam. This is the National Broadcasting Company.